Dramatica analysis of Team America, World Police, recorded February 3rd, 2009, led by Sandy Stone.
This is Tuesday, February 10th, users group meeting, and we're discussing Team America, World Police. An all-guy crowd today.
Sausage fest.
So any general comments before we get into, you know, more analytical work here? What'd you think, Bob?
I liked it.
Good.
Unusual movie.
Good. Jim, you've seen it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I think it's very deep, Oscar worthy.
You'd think. Actually, in one of the featurettes, Trey Parker, who, by the way, is a customer of Wright Brothers, we know he uses Movie Magic Screenwriter. We know he owns Dramatica.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Chris says, you know, we know he has Dramatica. We're not sure if he uses it.
We're going to find out tonight.
But you know what? Yeah, we'll look at that, yeah. But Trey said in one of the, special features that his dream was that they get an Oscar nomination for I'm So Lonely, and then they'd have Kim Jong-il come out and perform it himself during the Oscar ceremony. That's what he was hoping.
Wow. Talk about aspirations.
Yeah. All right.
Well, why don't we start by talking about the through lines, right? Check the story, main character, impact character, and the relationship or
subjective story,
also known as the main versus impact story, or through line. So we'll start with whatever's the most obvious. Like, you know, who's the main character?
I think it's Team America, isn't it?
The whole group.
Gary's the main character.
Gary. He's the one with. Well, what makes him the main character?
He's the one the audience view.
Okay.
You know, he's in like every scene. Mm-hmm. But he's really the audience view. You know, the audience is seeing this through. Team America existed, but Gary comes into that world.
He's the emotional. He's the emotional outsider in a way.
And also the reluctant hero.
The reluctant mm-hmm. hero, yeah, exactly.
Archetypally speaking.
Yeah.
So
he changes the most, right?
I think that can probably
I
be argued.
A piece of your paper.
Main character is not necessarily the person who changes the most, though. Remember, main character either
thank you
changes or change or manages to change somebody else. Yes.
Oh, harsh.
We'll get back to what constitutes his personal story. What about the objective story? How would we describe that?
The objective story?
The overall story. In an overall sense, what's it about?
Oh, just you want me to summarize it?
Yeah.
The overall story.
It's about stopping the weapon with WMDs.
Stopping
terrorism.
I think, stopping, discovering who's behind it, because they are heroes. Protagonists collectively keep getting misdirected, right?
Yeah.
They think it's all based in Cairo, and then they think it's all based in Turkestan, and then it takes them a while to find out that it's Kim Jong-il. But basically, it's to stop the terrorist plot, which is 9/11 times whatever. It's basically to stop this massive terrorist WMD plot, right? I mean that's essentially the story goal, and then the overall story has to do with just in general sense stopping fighting terrorists, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in a genre sense, it's about fighting terrorists. The story goal is about stopping a particular plot to reconstruction, right? So, getting back to Gary as a main character, what kind of defines him as a main character? What defines his personal through line?
Well, I think, are you talking situation activity?
No. Before we get into that, just what is it about Gary that defines him?
I think it's his hair.
In the way his mouth moves.
Yeah, the way it moves.
His being brought into the situation as an outsider at the beginning.
Okay. But what else? What's more personal about him?
His skill.
His skill.
As an actor.
Okay. But it's his acting that's at issue, right?
What's his angst? Conflict, right, between the acting and the fact that the acting is the thing that brings him the most pain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Because of the past. And
right.
So yeah. Backstory.
Backstory. There's the backstory. I mean, you know.
Maybe it's...
I mean, obviously, there's past, there's memories, whatever, but...
So he has issues to deal with.
He has issues with his angst, you know, is rooted in his brother's death that he blames himself for, right?
Right.
And then when things go bad after Cairo, then he blames himself again, even though, you know, there's plenty of blame to go around.
Yeah,
but
he'll never act again.
Right. And so he has to sort of confront this self-esteem issue, I guess.
Now, let me ask something. If he's so conflicted with the acting on that, why was he just fine doing that on Broadway?
Well, because he's able to use that pain to be a great actor.
Yeah.
Right? And so he's good at it. And
But no one gets hurt.
Exactly. Up to this point, no one was getting hurt. Okay. You know, when people get hurt...
Now
as an indirect result, or what he attributes to be as a result of his acting, then he starts sinking into depression, right?
Right.
So, so his basic angst is, his acting hurts people. So, you know, anytime something new like that happens, it brings back those old memories. So if Gary is our main character, then who would be our impact character?
Lisa.
Lisa? Okay. Are there any other candidates, potential candidates?
Spotsworth.
Spotswood?
Yeah.
Or Spotswood.
I don't know exactly how to spell it, but I'll guess.
Spotswood penis.
Spotswood.
There you go.
Any other possible candidates to be the person whose worldview contrasts with Gary's?
Does he have to contrast?
Well, contrast in some way. It doesn't have to be in direct conflict, but it does have to contrast.
I hate actors guy.
Right, who is Chris. Who's clearly the skeptic.
Right.
I mean, he's clearly the skeptic. Spotswood is sort of the guardian character. Mm-hmm. Lisa, I think... We could break this down, but she seems to be kind of the rational character, recent character. I haven't really worked that out.
She states and reiterates, I would say, the theme of the story mm-hmm. when we get to that level.
Yeah. So, okay, well, who... First of all, who do we think is the strongest candidate among these three?
Lisa, it was my vote.
All right. And Friday, you said Lisa?
Yeah, I'm a Lisa. I'm a fan of Lisa.
Hey.
I'm a fan of Lisa.
Great. Bob, do you think is the impact character?
I don't know.
Okay. Jim, didn't finish?
Yeah. No.
Okay. Columbus, have you seen the movie?
Yeah.
All right. Who do you think is the impact character?
I thought Lisa was the impact character.
Okay. Chad?
Lisa's the blonde lady.
Yeah, the blonde one.
Yeah, the blonde one.
Okay. One vote for Lisa, one vote for Wood. Okay. What's interesting is you do see, I mean, Chris does, there seems to be a sub-story, kind of a, sub, you know, a mini-story form between Gary and Chris. Chris is the skeptic character.
Yeah, but Chris...
Sort of like Han Solo,
right.
Who, you know, mm-hmm. he has a little... mini change of his own, but it's not the big, it's not the big theme of the story.
And that's why I didn't like him as the impact character, because I feel Gary's a changed character, and so there's nothing steadfast about Chris.
Right. So in his own story, yeah, he would be a changed character to Gary's steadfastness, but that's kind of a B-level story form. So, yeah, if we're in agreement, What makes Lisa the impact character? What defines her, you know, position, her, you know, paradigm of the story?
Well, I think she is the, she's like the anchor. I would describe her as the anchor of, you know, she's like, you know, the one who can talk the reason to him and explain that and go, this is the bigger purpose of what we're doing here, and D. You know, she's kind of got the same emotional angst, you know, that, you know,
right.
Just having lost Carson, mm-hmm. you know, the death of Carson. And so she's sitting there and she's, you know, she's the deepest character, I guess we'll say.
Well, she's certainly, I
or
think
second deepest to Gary. I guess.
Cinematically, I think just the way it's shot, I think you know, it's pretty intentional that she's the most impactful character, because whenever she speaks, he pauses. When she steps into the room, when she first steps into the room, he pauses. When she goes out, when he, you know, walks out the door and she goes chasing after him, he pauses and he looks at her card and he has all these feelings for her and she's telling him, you know, you have to, you know, she points to his, tries to point to his chest. And, see, I need that little fan thing of yours. See?
Yeah, I should have brought it.
She points to his chest and basically is urging him to listen to his conscience,
mm-hmm.
you know, listen to his feelings. You know, she says things like, you know, sometimes believing is all we have.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and every time she says something, he really takes it in, right? So, so she's clearly, you know, impactful. But what? So that's her. But what is the nature of their relationship? How would we describe that? They're colleagues. I mean, just, you know, initially they're colleagues,
right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they're colleagues who fall for each other, basically.
Right.
Right. But you know, obviously, it goes deeper than that because they both share some, you know, it's a deep angst, right?
Mm-hmm.
About
what is that? Yeah.
Subjective story.
Subjective.
Yeah. SS or RS or MCD or N versus that.
Did they give you a dictionary?
Main character.
Main versus impact.
Okay.
Okay. So, to answer the 12 essential questions. First, main character resolve, change or stay fast.
Well, main characters change.
Okay, and why?
Because at first he's doesn't think he can do it, and then he believes he can do it, and then he thinks, shit, I wish I'd never done it, and then I'm going to do it again. I'll suck a dick to do it again.
Okay.
And then he can do it. So he doesn't believe at first, I'm just an actor. And then in the end, his acting is more than enough.
Okay.
So his change is there. That, you know, his view is he couldn't do nothing. He's just an actor. You know, his brother was the athlete. He's just the actor. You know, and his brother got killed, and he could never do anything. Like, you know, so he's really crippled by that. And in the end, he's able to go in there and defeat everybody. You know,
he's able to step up to the plate.
Right. Well, he had the montage.
Right. Well, actually, well, the it's ups and downs. He's got all these ups and downs, and yeah, he's after a great deal of consideration, you know, which, again, he's a reluctant hero, so that also makes him the protagonist, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the aspects of protagonist, of course, is consider, right? To pursue and consider. Spotswood is counting on him to be the pursuer, because he has to go in and get the information with his acting, right? Get the information
mm-hmm.
they need to figure out where the bombs are. But he spends a long time considering. Right, when he goes, you know, Washington D.C. and looks at all the monuments, and but then he, you know, his conscience finally gets the better of him. He comes back and says, you know, I'm back, but you know, problem is I don't look like a Middle Eastern. So he kind of gets thrust, so he's still not completely on board. He's in the plane, and he still has all these doubts, you know, and he goes into the mission, and he barely pulls it off, right, and almost gets killed, and he's still very scared, but they think they've succeeded, so everything's okay, right? And then Panama blows up, presumably because of what they did in Cairo. And then he's feeling terrible again. So he starts sinking. He never really got very eager, and then he really started sinking, and then when he discovers that Lisa's life is in danger, that's when he starts pulling out the stops and trying to become a real hero. But then he starts to doubt himself again. You know, he becomes a big action hero, but his transformation isn't complete then, not until he's able to step up and use his acting with confidence and feel like he can be save the world with his acting and without hurting people, or, you know, saving the world as opposed to creating more trouble, right? So I think that's his final transformation, right?
Yeah.
So.
Right.
Yeah. Or any further, you know, support or other...
No, I think that's pretty...
discussion, but yeah. Let's see, main character growth is stop or start. We usually skip that one. We'll come back to that. His approach, the approach question is doer or beer?
I think Gary's a beer.
Okay, what makes him a beer?
As the world happens around him, they make him look like a terrorist. He doesn't make himself look like a terrorist. He doesn't take on the role of, I'm going to act like a terrorist.
Well, he is. He is taking on that role, which...
Right.
So that's what, as an actor, he has to be a terrorist, right?
Right. But, I mean, but they do to him, and they, you know, mm-hmm. he's not the guy, you know, I think, you know, he's a beer rather than a doer.
Okay. Any other evidence to that?
Why he's a beer,
or why his preference is
right.
to, you know, to take on a beer approach as opposed to, you know, it's a matter of preference, right? He prefers, if he's a beer, it means he kind of prefers to check his feelings first.
Right.
You know, or adapt to the situation first, as opposed to trying to adapt the external world.
He has his own conflict that he has to deal with first. And then he's willing to deal with the world problems once he's solved once he's resolved his own personal problems. Whereas a doer resolves his personal or his internal problems by solving or approaching external problems. Somebody like Chris, for example, whose thing is just to go out and fight in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Gary stops and asks, why? Why am I fighting? Why do I need to fight? And only until he has exhausted all possibilities with resolving his own inner conflict can he go out and do anything for any external conflict whatsoever.
Okay.
So
you go for beer.
I go for beer based on that.
Okay. Any opinions? Any supporting or contrary? Anyone want to argue doer?
No, not doer. But I was going to argue beer because even in the end, I don't know if it's heavy, but even in the end, his being the actor
mm-hmm.
is the resolving. Is how the problem was resolved.
Okay. Even in that sense, I think what you see there is stepping up. I think what you're seeing there is that that's when he becomes a doer once and for all. He has to just put his feelings aside for once and just step up to the plate. And, you know, because at first he's feeling intimidated by Alec Baldwin, right?
Right.
And so there's all that internal shit going on again.
Right. Yeah. That's why, again, it's him in the beer. He's checking it. I couldn't possibly out that. Baldwin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then he gets up there and he tries to start it, and then it's only when he goes to what the drunk told him in the bar when he was drunk about
right.
dicks, pussies, and assholes.
And he just pushes his whatever
doubts
garbage aside
whatever.
Just to do it.
Right.
Just to do it because now he's got some tool and he can now he's got that speech.
Right.
He pulls that out and he does that. I think that's evidence that that's how he's a changed character.
Mm-hmm.
He finally becomes, once and for all, he finally becomes a doer.
Right.
Without letting himself be weighed down by his internal garbage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Any other opinions on that? Are we in agreement then?
Yeah.
No, so we're in agreement that we're going to go with Beer here, right?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Any strong opinions as to whether or not he's a stop or start character? We usually only answer if we have a strong feeling for that, but when we're looking at a changed character, stop basically means he's got a chip on his shoulder. Start means he's got a hole in his heart. He either needs to stop a bad trait or start a good trait. And sometimes it's kind of six of one, half dozen of the other, but you know, usually something kind of is more prominent.
So start is a chip on the shoulder, you said?
Stop is a chip on the shoulder.
Stop.
Start means he's got a hole in his heart.
Only for a change, right?
For a change, you think about it a little differently when it's a steadfast character, yeah. But for a changed character, he changes something inside of himself, either by stopping something or starting something.
Okay.
Right?
I think it's a stop. You think he
okay,
a chip
so
on his shoulder because of his past?
Okay. All right.
No, I'm going to disagree with you on that one.
Okay.
I think he's a stark character.
Okay.
Because, like I say, I think he's got that hole in his heart, that pain that he carries with him, you know. But he's got to start. What's he got to start doing, though?
I mean, he's stopping himself all the time, though.
You know? He is stopping himself. So it's like, what is?
But his growth isn't to stop.
Where does his growth need to come from?
Right. Remember his growth. We're talking about his growth. We're not talking about he's stopping himself. So he's stopping himself. He's got to start growing. So that's, you know, what I'm saying is that he's got to start growing.
Okay.
And he's got to start getting over his past, his problems. And you start, stop, you can manipulate any way you want because you can just change the words around. But I'm leaning more towards start.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't say I'm so strong about it. I usually let the computer answer that for me, as you well know.
Any other opinions on that?
Mm. I'll disagree with you, Friday. I think we have to arm wrestle now.
Yeah.
Yeah, well. I'll put squiggly line.
Put a line on the paper.
Yeah. You put it on the piece of paper and you outline it.
But, yeah. Well, go get that 17-inch paper, though.
You get the ruler.
No, the 17-inch
paper. My 17.
I think the conclusion alone, because I think if you look at this, if you look at the overall story goal, which is to stop fighting terrorism, or to stop terrorism, which supports your theory that his resolve would go along with his would go along with the story goal.
Yep.
However, there's a deeper personal story that is to start doing something, and I think that that's why they added that ending where they're with the cockroach who starts a whole other war that they have to now go out and fight, is because now it's a matter of Gary starting whatever it is, whatever it takes to become that warrior.
That he should have been from the beginning.
That he should have been from the beginning.
So start being a warrior.
Yeah, start fighting. Start paying his buck 05, basically.
Yeah, there you go.
You know. Okay. So I'm gonna go with start, even though I still think it's a stop start. But it ends with start.
Okay.
Stop then start.
True, and that you're right, and that's the thing. That's the hard part about this question is that I think most of the time it's six of one, half a dozen of the other, and it's really hard. It's kind of hard to distinguish. Sometimes you get a really strong feeling, and sometimes you don't. So,
but I say going with where the story ends,
mm-hmm.
it's a start. It ends with a new beginning,
right.
Rather than just if the war ended when he saved the world with one hundredth of a second remaining, that would be a stop. Because that would be his growth. He grew to that point where he was able to stop the problem, and then he would just go back to Broadway at that point.
True, but when you're talking in those terms, you're talking about him as a protagonist, not necessarily as a main character, right? I mean, he is both.
They're different.
But, But a protagonist, you know, is the pursuit character,
uh-huh.
and in this case, it is pursuing something that needs to stop. But on a more personal level, you know, that's more debatable.
So as a protagonist, he's a stopper. But as a main character,
yeah.
He's a starter.
Better than being a non-starter.
But you know, we'll, like I said, we'll tentatively pick that, but we won't just, well, we'll see what where the rest of the choices lead us. So may or may not come out that way. So the mental sex or problem solving the original term being mental sex, male and female, or problem solving approach, logical, intuitive.
I think he's a female.
Do you think he's female?
I do. I think he's intuitive. I think he's holistic about it. He's got to think about all this stuff. He thinks about all the impact of it. He goes and looks at it, and he says, man, I got to go take all this information in. I got to go look. Freedom is a buck-o-five. He goes and looks at the monument and says, right. You know what? I need to do this.
Okay. Okay.
You know, freedom's on sale this week for a buck-o-five. You know, so I think he takes a look at that, and he really needs to, you know, where a linear guy says, you know, Chris is more of a linear thinker. Let's go do this. So I think he is. I think he's very holistic in that. Even this, and I'll give you an example. Holistic, when he's got us. That sounds bad to say. It'll come back to haunt me here.
That's what I'm saying. This discussion is going to be R-rated anyway, so.
Okay, good. People are going to come back, and I'm going to be rich and famous someday, and they're going to have this podcast is going to come back to haunt.
Exactly.
Like Al Baldwin and his answering tape that he left for his daughter. but even when he gets down, he has to suck off Spotsworth. He's kind of like, well, do I suck this dick or don't I suck this dick? Oh, well, I want to save the world. I really want to save the world. I want to save Lisa. I care about Lisa. I don't really like sucking dick. I didn't want to do it from the get-go, but all right, Spotsworth, I'll do it.
Well, yeah,
but he's not logical in that. He's not going, you know, a logical approach would be more,
But that's really Spotswood's approach, though. What you're arguing there is the pressure from Spotswood to do that, and to him, it's like, okay, if doing this will save Lisa, then I better do this. Then that's kind of a cause and effect.
Isn't that more of a logical thinking, though?
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
But what would Chris do? Chris had to suck spots.
More importantly, what would Lisa do? Because she's going to be the opposite of him, because she's an
American. Well, actually,
Lisa, male.
On mental sex, the character is not necessarily opposite of the main character.
Okay.
As the doer and beer, that's true, but not on male-female.
Let's hear the cases for. Of linear.
Or either way. Jim, do you have notions there?
Well, I think when he first gets approached about when Gary first gets approached to do this,
mm-hmm.
I think he intuitively just leaves. It's like, I gotta go. They give him the option to leave.
There's a door.
So okay. I just argued for logical, but now I just went back and I'm kind of. Jumping ship, going back and forth.
Okay. Hey, well, what other? And remember, one thing that's hard about this is separating beer attributes, doer and beer attributes from male and female attributes, and that's an area that's very fuzzy for me. So we've agreed that he's a beer. That seems pretty strong, but I just want to be careful that we're not, seeing beer traits calling them intuitive. You know, intuitive, you know, has to do with, seeing a relationship, trying to affect the world by creating a, you know, shifting balances, you know, pushing something over here to make something happen over here. Whereas, you know, a linear person just goes straight at it, just says, okay, I need to go from A to B to C to get, you know, to do something. So, when we see Gary trying to solve a problem, okay, where are the instances where we're trying to see Gary solve a problem?
When he's in the bar, and he's getting drunk, because he's got to figure out, you know, he can't go on because of what happened there. So he's trying to deal with that problem and trying to solve it. So what he does is runs away and hides.
You've given up on yourself, haven't you?
Right, giving up on yourself, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think that
constitutes mental sex.
Yeah, I don't think that constitutes a one. Yeah.
You know, I'm starting to lean more towards male now. I know. Okay. I'm coming back on the show.
I'm gonna call you Waffle.
Yeah.
That's I'm gonna call you Waffle.
No, what's in your head then?
Um Well, like when he goes, when he does go for that little montage, or whatever, and he's looking, he's at the Abraham Lincoln Memorial, or whatever, and he's—I know that he's thinking about things, but he's thinking in logical terms. It's logical for him to come back and help this group. They need his help, mm-hmm. right? And that's not instincts. That's not anything. It's just kind of saying A plus B is C.
Well, and he's standing in front of the thing that says freedom isn't free. And,
yeah.
But the fact that he stops and he thinks about it and he considers all sides, he listens to all sides before he makes a decision. He doesn't just jump into it. I think if it was Chris would, when given these opportunities, when given these choices, he would say yes or no, and he would go with his instinct. He would go with his first answer. Don't get in the limo because the guy wants you to suck his dick. Or do get in the limo because the guy is going to make me a hero, you know.
Right.
He sits there and he waffles on everything, but he does reach the right decision. I don't want to say waffles because.
Well, he being as a beer, you know, here's the thing.
It frustrates the hell out of you.
You know what? All right, let's measure. No.
I thought we were going to arm wrestle.
No, I just told him that his mental sex is female.
No,
like,
fuck that.
Look.
Well, here's the thing. As a beer character, okay, as a beer protagonist, okay,
mm-hmm.
The two main elements of a protagonist are pursue and consider. Pursue being the external thing and the consider being the internal thing. And he spends a lot more time considering than he does pursuing. So that's, you know, that when he's, that's an attribute of being a beer. Mm-hmm. Just spending a lot of time considering, how do I feel about this? You know?
Yeah.
And again, that's not really approaching problems in either a linear or an intuitive fashion.
You have a feeling on this, Sandy?
I would lean toward male, but I
yes
I have, but I'm not married to that. Okay.
How can I be a chick if I'm going for the male, huh? Does that mean that I want to marry that male?
Because two chicks are deciding.
That's why I'm saying I'm not married to it because we'll see.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see what Prop 8 happens with that.
Yeah.
We'll leave that open. We'll leave that open. We might be able to pick that with unique ability or something like that. Columbus, did you have a?
I just had him as logical because of his thinking. If you do this, if I do this, then this will happen.
But show me where he thinks that.
When he was getting in the car. When he was getting ready to get in the car.
Are you from Hollywood? You know, okay. Wait a minute, you know.
I know what you want. You want me to suck your dick or touch your finger or make me.
Isn't that logical thinking?
That's logical thinking to me.
Okay. But the fact that,
But he still gets in the car.
To conclusion, he still gets in the car. He thinks, okay, well, he might not want to suck my dick. He might
actually... Fine, then he's a transvestite.
Right, yeah.
Can we have a third option up there?
Oh, we're not going there.
No, and that's what I'm saying. I agree that he's got a certain degree of logical thinking, but, I mean, you know, every character has a certain degree of logical thinking.
But doesn't that get into, like, a fuzzy area, though? I mean, it kind of, like, there's a gray area now. You know, where he is a female animal.
It depends on the story. Yeah, it can be very good.
That's female.
Sometimes
there's nothing wrong with having a female mental sex.
Right.
No, I'm not saying that. There's nothing wrong with that. No, I'm saying that you guys are...
I'm glad you know that.
Bob, do you have an opinion on that?
Yeah, I do.
Bob,
that's okay. Because we're so different that we have so much to share, man. Yeah. How's that?
All right. Fuck.
Asshole.
Accept it. Shit on everything. All right, we'll leave that open, and we'll.
The reason I'm fighting so hard for it is because I already wrote female down, and I don't like to.
And you don't want to erase.
Yeah. It's your erase
pencil.
All right. So the last questions are: Lord Driver.
I want to download that font. Caught Friday.
Yeah, I know. there's a company that actually turns your handwriting into a font.
Oh yeah,
should do it Friday.
Yeah.
Outcome, success or failure.
What's that?
Success or failure.
Oh,
success.
Yeah. He stops the bombs from going off.
Yeah.
The bomb's introduced so late, so it's got to be an option lock. It's not stored.
All right. Well, I was just going to go to the easy questions first, easiest questions. The main character judgment, or the story judgment, which is really about the resolution for the main character, good or bad?
Right. It's good.
I mean, it's good. It's a happy ending. Right. Okay, the story driver is a question of action versus decision. Okay, so the story driver has to do with the inciting incident, the major plot turns,
and the conclusion,
and
the climax.
Resolution. And
would you say the story judgment was again? Story judgment is the.
It's good or bad. It's really about the main character and his personal resolution. Is he in a good place or a bad place, or another way of looking at it, is he in a better place than he was before, or a worser place? That the terms in the software are good or bad, but so action or do actions. Drive decisions, or do decisions drive actions? What's the...
Well, actually, the terrorists decide to attack Paris, which invokes the world police into action. I'm actually leaning towards a decision, story limit. He decides to go, decides, I'm going to go back. Oh my God, what happened? Oh my God, Spotsworth. He decides that I'm going to do this to save them. I'm willing to get on my knees. And then he goes to, and that allows him to go into the montage and then go on to back there. Okay. And then he's got to face that challenge of, I can't act out Baldwin, but he decides to do it anyhow in that moment. He's like, you know, because he's next to, you know, assholes.
Okay.
So I think it's a decision-based thing. The terrorists decide to do this. Gary decides to join them. And then when he joins them, then they go to Baka-laka-laka-laka, you know, and they go take them on. But they don't go take them on whether he, you know, I think it's a decision-based.
The question is, are you saying
the overall story or just the main character?
Mainly the overall story.
No. Oh, okay, then I think it's action.
I think it's
action, too.
It's the actions of Kim Jong-il and you know, what he decides to do, and also the actions of the terrorists.
The situation.
That kind of drives the story, because they're going to them.
Okay, so name specific actions, then, that are the major story turns, major plot turns.
Will be Panama.
Panama Canal.
Him selling the WMDs. I think that's because he's supplying,
presumably, yeah, giving them, handing them over to the Chechnyans, even though they're not ready.
Yeah.
Right. And then they'd have to conclude. The whole objective story plot would have to conclude then with an action, right? Which would be hitting the cancel button.
Yeah.
Columbus, did you have?
And I was thinking too, but also at the very beginning, an action took place that generated the whole story.
Yeah, right.
And which one?
When they were in Paris, that what all of that happened that brought him into it.
Now
the exciting incident is the terrorist activity in Paris.
Bring Gary into it, though.
Well, what brought Gary into it was there was
Carson got killed. Right.
Yeah, and that created an overlap.
So something happened.
Right.
Okay. That generated
it. So it started with the kid with the ice cream who ran into the terrorist.
Mm-hmm. Basically, no,
started with credits.
Started with marionettes. Little, tinier marionettes.
Yeah.
But I think in the opening sequence, you could argue. I think there's two possible things you could cite as an inciting event, and they're probably both valid. And one is just the terrorists having the WMD about to set it off, right? And then Carson getting killed.
The thing being is this, the terrorists don't kick into action until the world police show up, and the world police don't show up until the terrorists decide to come out of their hiding or wherever they're at, and, you know, reveal in public, and they got the WMDs.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, and then that's when world police show up, and then it turns into, put the guns! Mm-hmm. But it's not like the terrorists went out there and the action was like, just opened on a terrorist action, you know?
But what, for instance, if we were to say, okay, the terrorists decided, this is kind of off-screen, and it's kind of, you know, the dialogue about that comes later,
mm-hmm.
but they decided to set off one of the bombs early in Panama, right? So that's a huge... I mean, the Panama explosion is a huge turning point. That's the midpoint of the movie. But obviously, they made a decision off screen to do that. But why did they decide to do that? It's because of what happened in Cairo.
Cairo, right.
It's because they blew up Cairo. And I think another... I actually think what kind of sets everything into motion is when they get intelligence that there's a meeting of terrorists taking place. And that's kind of what's... That's what sets into motion all the decisions that have to be made. We have intelligence. We need somebody to infiltrate the terrorist cell to you know, act your way into it to get the information, right?
And there's no there's no yes or no there. It's only one decision. So there isn't a decision to be made. It's just action.
Well, I mean, there's an action, and then it's like, okay, we need this. You know, we've decided to bring in this guy. This guy still has to decide to join us. Without him, we're lost. I mean, yeah, it's a crucial decision.
Yeah.
But it's set into motion. By the fact that there is information that this meeting is going to take place, right?
So it's action. Showy Driver is what you're feeling.
Well, the reason I'm leaning toward action is because is two reasons. Because Panama Canal is a major action that happens that turns the whole mood of the story. Because if you look. If you consider the second act to be, you know, starting when they fly out of Mount Rushmore and head toward Cairo, to me that feels like the beginning of the second act. And it's kind of an upbeat from that point on. In terms of our heroes, they're feeling pretty upbeat. They, you know, they have the car chase through the desert, and they defeat them, and they're back, and they're feeling good, and you know, Gary and Lisa have sex, and have some more sex. And everybody's feeling good, and then Panama Canal hits, and from that point on, the mood just goes down, 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 right?
I would have said the exact same thing, except I thought the sex scene was the turning point, just because it happened around the same time. But I mean, it really what that did was it drove the main character into the story. I think the story was in progress, and the situations were in progress, and the terrorists were going to do what they were going to do. But I think that it involved him, that what happened in Panama involved him because of the promise that he made to Sarah to never die.
I mean, Lisa.
I'm sorry, Lisa, you're right, to never die. So I would say that,
the way I would interpret that is when you're just looking at objective story events, which is just about...
Objective story, midpoint... Panama,
right.
Main
Panama.
Character story,
but the subjective story. I'm not sure, but the subjective story kind of hits its peak there, and that's the sex scene. So yeah, when you're looking at the different through lines and you evaluate, you know, where are the subjective story scenes and how would we measure this arc? You know, it looked like something like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, there and it is. It is very well structured because, you know, what they're doing basically is just, the whole thing is just a parody of a Jerry Bruckheimer film, right? Action film. And they're just following each beat, you know, personal story beats, just the ludicrous, you know, oh, I have feelings for you while they're middle of this, you know, big dogfight and all this. So they were very careful to follow those beats. And that's part of it, is having some of these curves, you know, intersect. So, but the other, my other argument for action is just the fact that what resolves the objective story in success is hitting the cancel button. And that puts an end to it. So that would be an action rather than a decision. So that's why I would...
Yeah, because there's no decision to be made by that point, right?
Right.
There's only one.
Right. Because, you know, there's also, for instance, part of the sort of deliberative nature of the third act is they're up there, you know, you got Alec Baldwin and you got Gary.
And this is overall story, too, right?
And we're still talking overall story.
Right, yeah. So it is action, because, only one who's really decision is Gary's story is a decision-based story.
Yeah.
Right, but even Alec Baldwin makes the action of going over to Kim Jong-il's thing. It's not he makes decisions.
They have to get the audience's support at the end, but that's, again, that's not the turning point.
Right.
That's the turning point is, you know, I mean, Lisa kicks Kim Jong-il over. That's what defeats him.
Yeah.
And, but But the story's, the objective story's not over until Gary hits the cancel button. So those are all actions. You know, the antagonist is defeated with an action, not because the audience decided to listen to Gary instead of, you know, rally. So yeah, I would go with action. Story limit is option lock or time lock.
Well, it's option lock. It actually could be a time lock because Kimwell Jill's got that plan already in place to do it at that time.
Ticking clock.
Ticking clock, right. But the clock wasn't ticking from the very time we seen it, but Kim Jong-il's clock was ticking,
yeah,
you know?
Okay.
But the audience doesn't know this.
But we didn't know that.
But, And then honestly, the deciding to put together the ceremony with all the world leaders kind of happens halfway through when he realizes he has the support of the Film Actors Guild. So he is putting together this plan. He's been working on it for 10 years. He insists he's on a time frame, but there's not a specific time limit established
right.
In the first act.
I wrote option on.
Yeah. What do you guys think?
For the main story, I'd go with option because we don't know about, like you say, we don't know about the ticking clock until the third act.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that it's a matter of what's going to start or stop the ticking.
Mm-hmm. Right. Which means how... I would go with option because, I mean, what are the options in terms of trying to stop the...
Well, they got to find out who's behind this, where the weapons of mass destruction
right.
are, who's behind it, who's supplying them.
I mean, they go to Paris first.
Right.
Okay? That only scratches the surface. Then they have to go to Cairo. They think they're going to solve the problem when they're done with Cairo. And then that doesn't do it. And then they think they're going to solve the problem by heading into Durga Durgistan.
Right.
And then that goes south. And then they realize, oh, it's Kim Jong-il. He's the one we have to defeat.
Right.
So it's sort of like who, you know, how many places do we have to visit to finally get to the source of this problem? Right? So I think that's where we find the option lock.
Okay? Well, all right, maybe I don't, I'm still trying to grasp option lock and time lock because
okay.
I'm still new to this, but isn't, well, time lock is what? There's a timeline that there's like the ticking clock, like what you're saying?
If the ticking clock is okay, it's either...
Apollo 13, they're going to run out of oxygen in 11 hours.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's,
yeah.
Either, it's either a specific point of time on the clock or the calendar, or
fourth
like
July.
High noon, or
right.
you have a specific duration of time, like 48 hours.
Okay.
You know,
right.
and when that 48 hours is up, the story is over.
Okay.
Okay? What are you going to say, Bob?
No, I was just saying the option lock is like high noon. That would be a time lock.
That would be a time lock.
Yeah, yeah.
But option lock is like...
If you don't obviously think about the time where it's got to be an option lock. In this movie, there was a time lock, but I don't think the audience knew it, you know.
Well, it's like in Star Wars. In Star Wars, in the climactic sequence, they add a ticking clock factor just to increase tension, but that's only in the third act.
Yeah,
right.
Right?
And it's the same thing here.
Right.
They're only adding the ticking clock as, you know, and it's also part of the parody, too. It's just like, the world is going to end in 5 minutes.
Yeah, right.
Which is just, you know, again, just making fun of the action movie formula.
Which actually was really funny when he presses that thing, and it's going to end now. A kicking clock.
Kicking clock.
5 minutes. That was funny.
But and the thing is, when you got an option lock, it's like an option lock is saying, like, how many doors do we have to look through till we find the solution? You know, and usually you get down to one option left, and that drives you into the third act. Usually your third act is trying to attack that final option, which in this case, they finally figure out who the antagonist is, and they have to direct all their efforts toward that. Another thing is like a race, like the
race
Great Race with
Race to Witch Mountain.
It was like 1960.
if you have, there's no time limit, but whoever crosses the finish line first is the winner. But that's an option lock. That's an option lock. But if there's a specific, you know, the story's over when the clock reaches, you know, 12 hours, that's a time lock. Star Trek First Contact. See that movie?
Yeah.
A long time ago.
They go back and the Borg are trying to change history. So they know they have to set events right by April 5th, you know, or whatever.
Exactly. 9:07 a.m.
To make sure that the Vulcans, are, you know, and they shake hands.
And of course, comes back your example that Star Trek you can learn everything from.
Exactly.
Yes.
So that's a perfect time lock example.
How about 88 Minutes with Al Pacino? Was that a bad movie? I don't know. I heard it was really bad.
Everyone said it was bad. I didn't go
somewhere. Okay.
But you even look at, like, the series 24.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it takes place within 24 hours, but it's not really a time lock story because every little ticking clock, you know, is only, you know, kind of times out, and then they go to the next ticking clock factor. You know, it just happens that the story plays out in 24 hours, but there's nothing in the, usually nothing in the plot that specifies the story's going to be over at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Right.
You know, it just happens to work out that way. So, so that's an option lock scenario most of the time. So, so we want to pick.
Hey, you know what I wanted to do real quick just for this story because I thought it would help for some of the newer guys because there are some people here that are fairly new. Is I wanted to go over and write out the archetypes.
The archetypes.
Okay, and then with the external and internal issues.
All right.
You know how you put the word down for them?
Mm-hmm.
And you assign those words? What happens is you have these issues are all in play, okay? But not necessarily is every character straight across the board. As a guardian, there could be another character to help characters you get assigned to, okay? Like the guy in the bar is a help characteristic.
Mm-hmm.
Right, he helps him come to realize, you know, with the dicks.
Right, he takes on that role in that one scene.
In that one scene, right? All of a sudden, in that one scene, that character's going, "Give me the help mantle, I'll carry it." Now, there may be three characters through the story that carry the help mantle. You know, and that's kind of when we talk about how the impact character kind of changes sometimes. You know, it feels like it is. That's why three guys. You know, but sometimes because they may take the help characteristic on in that particular scene, they may say, "I'm going to help my main character here," but they're not the impact character. But I'm still going to help them,
mm-hmm.
and they may not be the guardian, or they may not be. It may be cross. It may be a small bit character, correct? Like that guy in the bar. We don't even know his name.
Like in the movie Ghost, remember?
Right.
Was it Patrick Swayze?
Yeah.
You know, Whoopi Goldberg is generally the help character, the guardian character. But in that one scene in the subway, yeah, that one ghost that teaches Patrick Swayze how to move
right.
a coin. And that's a key thing. So, but you notice Whoopi Goldberg is like away from the movie completely. While that character's taking on the help characteristic, the you know Whoopi Goldberg's out of the picture.
And if you look at that scene, that character's written entirely from the help perspective.
Mm-hmm.
He's there to help Patrick Swayze, you know, learn.
Learn a key thing that is crucial to his quest.
His unique ability.
Mm-hmm. Something like that. Control. There are more, you know, elements to these, but, you know, we usually just look at the two main, you know, motivational elements.
Right. One's external, right?
Exactly. This is
external.
The external attribute. This is the internal attribute.
That's avoid or prevent, right?
Avoid or prevent, yeah. They're interchangeable.
And like I said, I'm bringing that up just because I know for the newer guys, there was a lot, I learned a lot when we did that.
We got skeptic and sidekick. Skeptic is oppose and disbelief. Right. Sidekick is support.
Now, you can break these up. Usually we start with the archetypes, but then sometimes we'll realize, oh, you know.
He's just a faith character, right, yeah.
He
might not be a sidekick, but he's a faith character or whatnot.
Again, I do believe that Gary is pretty much an archetypal protagonist. Now, even though he's reluctant, it's still up to him to pursue.
And he does. I mean, again, in the Cairo Act, he has to pursue the information. And even though we don't see it, he gets the information as to where the bombs are stored there, right? Because they're in a shack 3 feet to the east or whatever. So they get that, and in dialogue you hear, oh, we found the bombs, and we disposed of them. So he did succeed there. So he is the pursuer character, even if he's a reluctant one. And you do see a lot of consider. You know, he has to just... You know, a protagonist has to not only consider whether or not to pursue the goal, but how to pursue the goal at each major turn. So he's very much the protagonist. Obviously, the antagonist is Kim Jong-il. All right. Now, what he's trying to do is avoid or prevent the protagonist's success. All right. So he's trying to avoid Team America. And then more actively prevent when he, you know, gets his planes to shoot them down and bring them in. But the reconsider characteristic basically is when the antagonist is pulling a mental trip on the protagonist. He's basically saying, reconsider your goal or die, or I'm going to kill you, you know. Mm-hmm. So he's constantly saying, you know, reconsider in one form or another. Because if you can get them to reconsider and stop their mission, then, you know, he doesn't have to avoid them anymore. So he works on both fronts. The guardian character, archetypally, is a combination of help and conscience. They don't have to be the same person, but often they are, like Obi-Wan Kenobi. Not only provides Luke's conscience, but he also teaches him how to use the lightsaber, or gives him the lightsaber. Usually the help character, in mythological terms, gives the hero, you know, a crucial tool or, you know, elixir or coin or whatever magical thing that is going to provide, you know, a crucial
lead to success. So Spotswood might be the guardian character.
He gives him semen.
He gives him the montage.
Gives him the montage, yeah.
Okay, right.
And Gary's not, you know, up to the task. So I think Spotswood is the guardian. And she may be the conscience.
Yeah, you could argue that Lisa, I would think that Lisa, I mean, Spotswood clearly has conscience characteristics, but right. I think what he does is he hands it off to Lisa because she's more impactful on him.
Right.
But he's the one who's saying at the beginning, there are people trying to kill you, you know, this is the right thing for you to do.
I just got Spotswood's joke in his name.
Spotswood.
Well, I got the wood part, but Spotswood, he sees wood. But yes.
He's the one who discovers here. Right.
The light bulb just went off.
And he's a marionette, so. All right. Contagonist. Guardian always contrasts with the contagonist. One's, you know, the angel on the shoulder, and the other is the demon on the shoulder. Contagonist, by the way, Chad, is a made-up word. The creators of Dramatica just made up that word because there wasn't a word for it.
So a contagonist is on the protagonist's side, but slows the protagonist down by either giving.
Well, he could be against him too.
He could be either way. He may or may not be on the protagonist's side.
Okay, but he somehow slows the protagonist down by either tempting him away from the goal or giving him a moral pause to say, now are you sure you want to go through with this goal? So either way he
usually the temptation characteristic means to take him down the wrong path.
Lead
him astray.
Yeah, exactly.
Not necessarily to make him reconsider, but
take him away from the story goal.
Yeah. Yeah. So the contagonist may be a good person or a bad person. Very often, and here's the thing, the contagonist very often has their own agenda. They may effectively be working on the side of the antagonist, but they're not necessarily teamed with the antagonist.
So it's the dude that was shooting pool.
No, that would be the skeptic character. Who would be the hinder character here?
That was Chris, right?
The skeptic would... Chris would be the skeptic character. I mean, just up and down, he's opposing disbelief.
Who's the temptation character? If Lisa is the conscience, who is leading Gary down the other path? It's almost like he's his own temptation.
Does it have to be temptation from the path? I mean, can it be temptation to achieve the goal?
It depends on the context of the story. It depends on the context of the morality of your story goal. So, yeah, what you say is true, but most of the time, temptation has a negative connotation.
Okay.
So, assuming that the story goal is moral, okay, uh-huh. Temptation is leading you away from a moral goal. That's not always true, but in this case, and probably most cases, that's how it works out.
Okay.
So, temptation, I think in this case, would have a negative connotation. So
then I would think that it's definitely himself, but if there's another character
who's saying, you know, get drunk.
Yeah, just screw the mission. Stay with us. There really isn't, because maybe, I mean, if you could say that his brother is a character.
Is it the actor's bag?
Yeah,
there
you're right.
Solid.
you're right.
You'll be invited back next time, Chad. You'll be invited back next month.
It's fag.
That's
damn fags.
Yeah. Sorry.
Nope, that is.
They're a major element. I completely forgot. Yeah.
Yep.
Alec Baldwin. Led specifically by Alec Baldwin.
Right. Yeah. Right.
No, I like fag.
In terms of the moral disposition of this story, okay, they represent the temptation element. Now, depending on your own political, you know, point of view, they may be the conscience character, but in this moral context, they are the temptation character. They are the protagonist. And they are, you know, clearly hindering. I mean, Alec Baldwin in particular. I mean, that's what they're all doing in the palace. Is they're shooting at the heroes to keep them from getting to the stage.
And
that's his fellow
actors. Yeah, that's people he looks up to.
Right. Yeah, which, you know, I'm sure there's some, you know. Yeah, you're right. Exactly, which is part of the temptation.
Which is why
I cannot out-act Alec Baldwin.
These are my role models.
He's going against his fellow co-workers.
Brethren. Although that only becomes an issue with Alec Baldwin. He doesn't really care about the rest. But
But I mean, Alec Baldwin's the head of FAG. So.
Right. So, but yeah, clearly they are the hinder character, actively and or externally and internally. So, what's interesting, okay, now you have, let's see, well, let's go to, we know that Chris is a skeptic character, so who would contrast Chris to be a sidekick character?
Sarah.
Okay, support Faith. Well, we've got Sarah and we've got Joe. Joe's the blonde quarterback guy.
He supports. Because he says that line when they're flying.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, something about the love or whatever. Like, you can't stop somebody from.
Just like we can't, you know, you can't stop your feelings for Gary, right?
Yeah.
So he thinks.
He's giving support for those other people, but he's also saying it for himself, right?
I can buy that one.
Yeah. I'm going to put Gary on support, but I think Lisa.
Joe. Right, and Lisa on Faith.
Yeah.
Or not Lisa.
Yeah. Because she's the one. Well, here's the funny part. It's like when she's saying.
Here's why. Sarah says, "I treasure your friendship, Lisa." That's just loyalty to the nth degree. And in the end, she says that.
Right.
So change your thing there. No question. I don't understand how that happened.
Okay, actually, no. That's Sarah.
Right.
Here's what's interesting about her. She seems to believe in her abilities as an empath.
Right.
And no one, you know.
No one else does.
No one else really does. But she still believes it. And then she turns out, you know, she helps to save the day.
Right.
Yeah.
I think because when she says, because you know, she's tied up. I treasure your friendship. You know, she's just loyal to the end to Team America and to the other members of the team.
Yeah, okay.
Obviously she's not an empath because she doesn't know that Joe's a hot drop for her.
Right.
You know?
Right.
That's the joke.
But But she does. Apparently, she does. But right, she certainly has faith in herself.
Right, but she has totally. She doesn't doubt it, right? Yeah. I think she is, you know, in that role there. And then I think Joe is in the support role, and that's what they did. They split it.
Yeah, I agree.
I think he did use this to write
the sidekick as a sidekick of Gary. Joe and Sarah. I mean, are either of them really?
Well,
they don't have to be the sidekick of the main character. They can be sidekick of the antagonist, or they can be sidekick of Team America.
They're sidekick of Team America. Yeah, they kind of, in terms of, okay, we are putting Gary in the main position. Okay, he's the main guy who has to get the information and act his way in. You know,
but Team America's got to solve the overall story.
But there's the support crew. You know,
right.
Gary's thrust into the leadership.
Well, overall story goal is to stop terrorist plot. Who's trying to stop terrorist plot? Team America, World Police.
Right.
And they're the sidekick to Team America, World Police. Just like CP3O and R2-D2 are the sidekicks, not to Luke, but they're to the rebels.
Right.
In Star Wars. They're not sidekicks to Luke, per se, because Leia's the one who sent them there on the mission. You know? The prince, what? What's that, R2? The princess is in danger? They don't ever go, oh, Luke's in danger. No, R2 wants to get to the princess.
Right.
Because his faith is to the princess. So it's sidekicks to the cause is
right.
What they are. And that's why I think these are. They're sidekicks to the cause of stopping terrorism.
In any of these cases, Guardian, they can switch sides in the middle of the story, and they still serve the same function. A hinder character may be hindering the protagonist at first, but then he may switch sides and start hindering the antagonist.
Right.
Which could, you know... and that's the role that he serves. Who's ever side yaps beyond at any given time.
And that's what I mean when I turn around sometimes and say dramatic can be bent to your will.
Yeah.
I can be doing this and this. And it's like that you can still make it work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he can be hindering here. You know, there are the two guys are friends. I think Chris has got a little bit of hinder in him.
Maybe a little bit of, well, I was going to say temptation, but.
I don't trust him. I don't trust you. I don't trust an actor. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. They had that argument in Cairo.
Right.
So there is, you're right. There's a little bit of temptation there because he's about to hinder the mission by getting into a fight.
Right.
Yeah.
So you've got a little bit. But again, that's bending
the
matter.
Because Mac has not been introduced at that point.
Right.
So that energy tends to creep up. You know, if it's missing in its central character, it tends to creep up anyway.
Right. Like I said, that's the thing about dramatic is that you can kind of mold it to or bend it to your will.
Yeah, just use it intuitively enough. Here's the thing. When Lisa talks about feeling and believing and, you know, the first thing she says to Gary when she's trying to convince him to stay is, you know, you have to listen to your heart, basically. She points to his heart. And she says things like, sometimes believing is all we have.
Right.
Most of the characters have both uncontrolled and feeling.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. You just can't have both control and uncontrolled. But
they can have
uncontrolled in logic and control in feeling. You can, you know.
And that's what you're thinking for Lisa,
but
right?
But you can't have two opposites.
But I mean, you can have uncontrolled and feeling both.
You can.
Yeah.
I don't think that's because I don't see Lisa as being. In fact, I see Lisa being very controlled in her manner, physically controlled.
Yes.
Except
during the sex scene.
Right. Right. But in every other area, because of the fact that she's weighed down, she
can't control her bowel movement.
Yeah. Just for the sake of the podcast, we did watch the unrated version. Okay, but she's the one who's saying to Sarah, "You have to control your feelings because you'll get hurt."
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
And that I think that's more control than it is logic.
Right. And I think it is right. And I think that you know it's control. So, and I think that's where she's at. And she's like telling Gary, you know, you have to. Right.
But she also talks a lot about feelings.
Right.
So if she's, she's sort of the, she's the Tin Man.
Yeah.
Control of feeling. So if she's the Tin Man, then
who's the Scarecrow,
who's uncontrolled and
logical.
Well, certainly Michael Moore you know, represents uncontrolled in a part of the film, the protesters.
Right.
Chris, he's a little bit uncontrolled, yeah. And he's logical. He's got his own reason for hating actors, and he's not going to...
And once Gary proves Zoom, he comes around on it.
Right.
You know, I never trust an actor ever since then. I got butt raped by, you know, the cast of Cats. And I ain't trusted an actor since then. Until an actor does something to me to tell me to trust him, I won't trust him. And then you've shown me, and
he's
trust you.
Whereas Gary went on his, I don't even want to say instinct, but he went on his intuition to get in that limo. Chris waited until he saw exactly what Gary. He waited till for proof positive to essentially to get in the proverbial limo. With Gary. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I would say Chris is your uncontrolled logic.
Yep.
Actually, no, I...
You're going to fight it.
I'm going to say Spotswood is the logic character.
I guess it is logical to make a guy go down on you to make...
No.
Well, there is a logic to it. I mean, yes, he's applying... a certain logic of loyalty of, you know...
Well, you said anything. Right.
He goes down with his ship.
Right.
You know what's that?
He goes down with his ship. Mount Rushmore. I mean, Mount Rushmore gets blown up. He's there, and he survives it, but he's... Yeah, but he does not leave.
Right.
He does not escape.
Yeah.
That's some bad intelligence.
Yeah. Bad intelligence. But yes, he's taking the intelligence, and he's applying it very logically. Yeah. We have to go to Cairo. We have to change your, you know, we have to get this actor, and we have to change his face, and go through all these steps. I also want to point out that when we're talking about, you know, contrasts, Chris, you know, is a skeptic archetypally. He's the opposed character. You see how Chris and Joe kind of contrast each other. You know, Joe's the one who's, you know, constantly, but he's. He's always opposing, but Joe's being very supportive. He's saying,
right.
Damn, that's the best acting I've ever seen.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And I think it's interesting that Guardian is Spotswood and Lisa splitting it, and then down in Reason is Lisa and Spotswood. Isn't that kind of interesting that they shared the Reason and Guardian character, they divvied it up?
Mm-hmm.
Because look at Lisa, she tracks down to control.
Conscience, control, and feeling.
Right. But I'm just saying, there's the Reason and Guardian character were split up between Spotsworth and her.
Uh-huh.
Entirely. She's getting...
Yeah, there you go. You're right. Yeah.
I'm always right.
Yeah.
I'm always
right.
I've told you that before.
Yeah, right.
Note that. Yeah, there you go.
Note that on the podcast. Right,
again.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Again.
Friday's started to masturbate because he's so into himself.
Yeah,
we all must either pause the podcast.
Okay.
Take a small break.
Right.
And
got that.
Just only because this is already an R-rated discussion, we'll allow that.
Yeah,
okay.
We don't normally talk like that.
All right.
Oh,
yeah. That's good.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'm just kidding.
Kids? Kids, what's
good? What's that?
The kids.
Kids, good.
Yeah, you're a 12-year-old, you know, on the internet, and something says you must be 18 years old. Or older to click on this link.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I will do it because I'm only 12.
Sure.
all right. Through lines, domains. All right. All right. We can start when we look at Gary. We're calling
Thank
Gary
you for
a
doing that,
spear
by the way.
Character.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really good. That turned out. More interesting than I thought it was.
It's a little messy with an ensemble cast, which is mm-hmm. you know, definitely what I'm dealing with. But I think it really helps to see how there's crossover,
mm-hmm.
and you show how characters switch roles in different situations. But just having that chart, it really really helps with a large cast.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go back and you do something like with a small cast, which I'm also doing. It's a breeze. It's
right.
It's a snap because you're like, okay, this person's this, and this, and then, yeah.
Right, and that's why I for George's and Chad's benefit, newer to the program, that and seen that, and I just that really helped me understand the program a little better.
And Chad, also for your benefit, I just want to point out that when you're doing this exercise, you're strictly looking at the objective story and how the character, how all the different characters fit into the objective story.
Okay.
This has nothing to do with the personal through life. I mean, there may be some overlap,
right?
You know, like feeling. Okay, yeah, Elise's, you know, talks about feeling, but so that overlaps the two through lines. But it's, you know, except for that, it's this is all about objective story.
Okay.
All right, and then when we start talking about the subjective story, which is the character through lines and their relationship, then it's then you're really only looking at those two characters. There's sometimes other characters are peripherally involved in the relationship story.
Yeah.
But it's really about those two. Okay, so Gary being a B-er character means that his domain is either in manipulation or fixed attitude. And so I will entertain guesses. And you know, you may want to look at the concerns underneath the next level down from the domain. Right? So, you know, manipulation, which is kind of a mental process. It's, you know, as a main character, if you're manipulation, it means you're either manipulating or you're being manipulated, you know, or both, which means there's a whole, you know, kind of a lot of different things going on, a whole dance going on. If you're a fixed attitude, it's basically your character's about a specific, you know, internal thing about you that is the source of your problem. Under manipulation, we have developing a plan, playing a role, changing one's nature, and conceiving an idea. Now, Gary certainly knows how to play a role, but that's kind of more in his role as a protagonist, I think. Under a fixed attitude, you have memories, innermost desires, impulsive responses, and contemplations. I'm going to go out on a limb here.
Fixed attitude.
Fixed attitude, which would be, in Gary's case, what his mindset. What is the nature of his mindset?
It's the memories.
That's problematic for him. The memories,
yeah,
but
memories.
What specifically, why is his mindset a problem for him? It's lack of confidence. It's he's haunted by these memories,
right?
And he's, but he's also haunted by just this, even though he's a great actor, supposedly, he's, you know, he doesn't feel like he's, you know, he doesn't feel like he's all that great. And he's very fearful.
Well, contemplations, did you go with contemplations?
Contemplations is very strong. He's
well,
spent a lot of time contemplating.
Because he's got a lot of doubts.
There's a lot of doubt, uh-huh.
But they're based on memories.
Memories. Also, innermost desires is fears. You know, impulsive responses is, you know, his, you know, it's probably not centered there, but you certainly see the impulsive responses in his reactions to Spotswood and his reactions to Chris.
Yeah.
And his reactions in the terror in Cairo.
It's centered there.
Yeah,
in
memories.
Memories.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm
going to disagree. It's
drive
in memories.
Contemplation.
I think memories is a part of his. I'm going to disagree that we're talking. This is the main character, right?
Main character, personal through line.
Personal through line.
His personal angst. All right, but are we agreed that he's in fixed attitude or mind? Are there any counter arguments to that?
His story has to be, because of the type of story we got, it's got to be in one of the lower quads, correct?
Right. Right. It's got to be in the internal.
The psychological or fixed attitude.
Right. Let me ask this. If he's in mind or fixed attitude, then Lisa would automatically show up in situations or universe. Is Lisa's nature as a steadfast impact character, does it make sense that she would be in situation?
No.
As an impact character, okay. Well, okay. Let me ask you this: where would the objective story be? Just looking at it separately from anything else.
I think it's in
activity.
Activity. It's kind of a physical
effort.
Yeah, it's just spreading bombs around and going out and fighting and shooting and.
Yeah.
I mean, there's you know.
Even by the words, fighting.
Right. Yeah, there's not a whole. It's not about it's not about changing people's opinions, changing people's minds. It's about just killing the terrorists before they kill us, right? So if we put the objective story in activity, then the relationship story between Gary and Lisa would be in manipulation, all right? Right?
Okay.
Or psychology.
Right.
Now, keep in mind that there's only a few scenes. It doesn't go that depth and that much depth into the relationship. Okay. There's a sex scene, but there's only certain specific moments where we're seeing the subjective story.
Yeah,
play out.
I think her subjective story is about the past. She's haunted by. She fell in love with Carson. Don't let yourself have feelings for a team member. It's dangerous, Lisa or Sarah. You know, trust me, it makes it too hard. It's just too hard. Mm-hmm. So she has a hard time, and she's like, I can sleep with Gary, but only if you promise you didn't die. You know? So she's kind of still dealing with her past.
Which, right there, you're dealing with the future.
Right.
I mean, it's all going to play a part.
Right, so it's her situation, how things are changing, and then she has...
And then her feelings in the present has to do with how she's feeling in the present moment and how she's impacting Gary, but also how she's impacting Sarah, you know, and everybody else.
Yeah, and
right.
The fact and fantasy, I think, kind of come how things are changing when, you know, the fact is she slept with him. The fantasy is she thought that that would make him loyal to her, and he's not.
But you're looking at how things are changing.
Right, and how things are changing, right. So fact and fantasy kind of come in. So she thinks, oh, I slept with this guy, so he's going to be part of World Police forever. And he's like, man, after the Panama incident, he's like, I can't do this.
Right, well, there's a point when it looks like... right in the middle of the movie, that things are getting better, and then all of a sudden they're getting worse.
Right.
And so that would be the progress.
Things are changing. Right, yeah. So, yeah, I like her in situation. So
yeah.
He's in fixed attitude.
I mean, as an impact character, here's the thing. She's blonde. She's beautiful. She's part of Team America. You know, she's part of the team. You know, honestly, I think that's the main thing about her impact. She's beautiful.
I think he's an innermost desires.
Okay.
I'm going to make my strong argument for that. And that's the strongest one I feel is, and you know that's how I do it. I take the one that I feel strong about. He's innermost desires. He needs closure on his issue of his brother. That happened a long time ago. Mm-hmm. He needs closure on that. When something happens, it's like, whoa, I can't do that. He's kind of almost been in denial.
That's a memory.
It
deals with memories too, but...
But
okay.
He has the innermost desire because of his memory.
Right, but memory's going to play a role in it, of course, because it's in the quad. But it's not
saying,
the most prominent
you're
thing.
You're saying that innermost desire floats to the top because memories may drive it, may come under it, but innermost desires is prominent.
Right. I think innermost desires is the most prominent one for him because he needs that closure. You know, and that's avoid and pursue.
But in the beginning of the
consider
movie,
and reconsider.
He wasn't pursuing that closure. Like...
He was just on stage, right? He was just living.
He was living
with
his life.
But he was denial.
That's
his denial, which is the opposite of his closure. And when he
while he's performing on stage, he's using that memory to as his motivation as an actor, and so he's sort of denying any closure on it, you know, for a good reason.
Right.
So Team America helps him find innermost desires, which is the beginning of the story.
I think that his innermost desires is what drives Gary the most.
And
yes, he's dealing with memories.
Is it fear? What are the desires? Be specific about what. Certainly fear, self-loathing,
self-worth.
You know,
I think, you know, Gary he's found himself as an actor. He's hidden in the roles he's played. You know, because no one could possibly like Gary for Gary. Notice there's no other woman in Gary's life.
Right.
Okay, and he's thinking to himself, oh, great, in order for me to make it in Hollywood, I got to suck your dick. He immediately thinks there's no way I can make it in Hollywood unless I suck dick.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to let me guess. You're going to put my finger in my ass and tell me you're going to make me a star.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's already got that mentality coming in.
Which is a fixed attitude, yeah.
Which is a fixed attitude, but he's already got that coming in that, you know, this is who I am. And so that's where I think it's his innermost desires are in there and trip him up. You know, innermost desires, everybody's kind of thinking is what you lust for, you know. But I think, you know, he dreams of being a big movie star, but he doesn't think that's something he can hope for,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then when this guy takes him into it, it's like, you know, he doesn't even ever dream that he could be a spy. You know, spying is acting,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Right.
You know, Spine is acting suspenseful. And he's like, I'm just an actor. I couldn't do it, you know.
He dreams of being as good as Alec Baldwin.
Right, he dreams.
But
of, right.
He you know, doesn't think there's any real
hope for that, right. You know, I really do feel he's the strongest, and that puts her in future, you know, which puts her in, right, correct?
Right. Okay. Well, yeah, that would put her in future.
Right,
so
right.
Does that...
Impulsive responses.
But, I mean, what about reappraisal, though? I mean, or appraising a situation like when he says, go in the limo.
Well, that's,
and then he says this, no, I'm not going to do that. And so he reappraises that and he goes in. He accepts it.
You know, all
you know
of those
mean?
Things are going to play a role.
Right.
We're talking about the thing that's most prominent, right?
Correct.
Right.
The
okay.
thing that kind of from beginning to end kind of defines his character arc on, you know, plot level and concern level and theme level and, you know, and all that. But a lot of those other things are going to play a role.
Oh, they should. Right. Yeah, they're going. A lot of them are going to appear. And it's going to seem like, oh, that makes total sense
yeah.
for him.
And so it becomes a question of is if it's appraisal and reappraisal, which it might be, you know, because contemplation is very strong. I mean, there's a really, really strong act of that. But is that sort of consistent from beginning to end to describe?
And the reason I pick Innermost Desires and I fight for Innermost Desires the hardest and I will win is because the closure is the strongest issue.
Well, you're arguing subconscious.
Right. I was arguing for Innermost Desires. I just really feel strongly about
right,
that
right.
because of the closure issue. It's being that's Gary's number one issue from start to finish. And when he finally gets closure on that, he is finally able to pursue the end goal of stopping the terrorists. He really is not helping him. He's actually trying to avoid it by getting drunk.
Yeah, I mean, Yeah.
I mean, I'm just drilling down, but I mean, I feel
right.
and that's how I do it. Is what I'll do is I will go and look for the one that I feel strongest about. Because you can make a case for any of the four in that quad, and I'll go, yeah, but I really feel strong about Innermost Desires for him, so I'm going to anchor it there.
All right, let's look at the other through lines and
right.
pick them and see if they make sense, if they match
mm-hmm.
up.
Right.
All right, disregarding anything else we said about the other through lines, and the objective story, the overall story, which is activity, is the concern, which has to do with stopping the WND plot, the new 9/11. Are we talking about understanding, doing, learning, or obtaining?
I think it's gathering information.
That's certainly part of it. I mean, that's a big part of it, yeah. But is gathering information isn't the end game. That's not the end goal, right? It's stopping the plot.
Right.
Yeah, getting the weapons and then destroying them, or just disabling them, or killing the terrorists. And in that sense,
it's obtaining.
It would be obtaining.
Seems like it would be obtaining.
Yeah, because
yeah.
the morality versus self-interest
approach and attitude, and certainly there's. And actually, that's really good because the approach is a very important issue here, you know, because that's Team America's approach is constantly getting them in trouble.
Right.
And there's, you know, a lot of discussion about attitudes, which, you know, has to do with, you know, the dickish attitude versus the pussy attitude, right?
Yep.
And certainly, you know, self-interest versus morality, you know, the morality of what they're doing comes into question, right? Morality
right.
of destroying, you know, ancient landmarks to kill a few terrorists comes into a serious question. So that's, you know, you can certainly make a strong argument.
Well, and I also like that only from a standpoint of when you look to the manipulation quad, the subjective story,
mm-hmm.
you know, developing a plan, playing a role, conceiving an idea, or changing one's nature, it's really about Lisa changing his nature.
And look underneath that. It's like
rationalization, commitment, obligation,
responsibility.
Responsibility
is the word that's being used most often.
Right.
Between Lisa and
right.
and
the
Gary.
Song is responsibility.
And that's why I have that right there makes me think
right.
Trey may have used Dramatica to help
right.
work out the story because they're constantly talking about, you know, she is constantly
the
pressing
song
him.
Is about that responsibility. Freedom calls
right.
a buck 05.
Right. Which he doesn't hear until Lisa kind of said something to him.
Right.
And then that leads into that song. And
right.
but they're constantly saying to him, you know, you're uniquely responsible to perform these actions, to take on this role.
Everyone else is saying that, but Lisa's the one who's enforcing that on an emotional level with Gary. So, so responsible, and certainly commitment is very strong, because, you know, when she says, you know, she says, if you will promise me...
Right, make that commitment.
Yeah, that you will never die, then I will sleep with you. And he sort of makes that... But then later on, the issue comes up and says, well, I said I wouldn't die. I didn't say I wouldn't leave.
Yeah.
You know, so that commitment issue comes up. You see rationalizations, you see obligations, but responsibility versus commitment, and probably responsibility, is real heavy.
Yeah.
It's really, you know,
well,
on the
ultimately
nose.
What gets him back there is the responsibility to the team.
Well, I think what gets him back there is he's in love with Lisa.
Right.
That's real. Yeah, that, but... When he discovers basically the team and specifically her are all in danger,
he takes responsibility for it.
And again, that's kind of
this would stop where immune says this would have happened if they had went out unprepared.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have an actor with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
I don't. The planes wouldn't have got shot down if they had an actor with them somehow. I'm not sure.
So. So yeah, responsibility is really strong.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So. And then that if we were going with that quad, then that would put Lisa's concern in future.
Right.
Certainly she has a concern about the past. She's haunted by Carson's death. But Carson specifically said to her, you must go on. You must find somebody else to love you.
Right.
And so even though she's kind of unwillingly taking on that, the concern of future is kind of thrust upon her at that moment.
Right.
And she has a hard time. She doesn't want to face the future. She's still kind of involved in the past. But Gary comes along, and...
he's just the guy that did it.
Well, and, you know, she says, I don't want to, you know... If I want to have a future with you, I want to make sure I'm not going to be hurt.
No.
And so she also impacts him in terms of the future. Because, like you said, he didn't have any other woman. He was just kind of doing his thing on Broadway, but he didn't really have... a life, because he was doing his thing while being haunted by his brother's death.
Right.
And so she kind of represents a, you know, a potentially better future for him. And that's, you know,
it does feel
that's
like
that's a part of the nature of her impact.
It does feel like he used it correctly.
So so what we can do is we got that far down. We'll go to the software. I'm leaving problem-solving style, which is Middlesex, I'm leaving that blank, and I'm leaving the growth blank, but I think the growth is going to be fixed for us.
Gosh, you know, I'm waiting for that Middlesex. I'm going to be...
Yeah, so he's...
Yeah,
I don't care.
I'm being female.
Software did kickstart.
I'm female, baby.
But,
oh, I was curious.
It kickstarted.
It kickstarted.
Oh, really?
Which is where we were leaning anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
First time you'd be wrong since 1993.
And we're going with the obtaining quad.
Yep.
All right. And so we'll go from there to the theme browser. Let's see. Okay. Yeah. Let's see. So when we barrel down, then we get into deciding where the themes really belong. And sometimes this is hard because like on Gary's, I mean, you got closure versus denial, which
right.
feels very strong for
right.
him personally, but I think there's also Bream versus Hope plays a very strong part. And part of that is kind of what's thrust upon him. A dream, you know, the dream that we all share in the song lyric is kind of thrust upon Gary that he has to deal with that issue. With Lisa, you got choice versus delay, which is important because she goes up to him and says, you know, you have the power to make the choice. You also have the power to walk away. You know, it's up to you. Listen to your heart. So, you know.
Openness versus preconception, I think, is hers because her preconception, if you fall in love with a team member, it will hurt you. But she's going to be open to, but I really have feelings for Gary. I'm going to take that chance again.
Mm-hmm.
So I like her really.
So all openness. Of those, yeah, all those are good. And we already talked about this approach versus attitude, self-interest versus morality are all really strong for the, I probably wouldn't want to go with self-interest, but morality would be really strong.
Right. Yeah. I think morality is the one that's just so strong over there.
And the subjective story, you know, again, I get back to responsibility is just so on the nose.
Responsibility versus
that. If we were to pick morality here, we would pick responsibility here. We'll pick all the other elements, but
so in the change story, correct? He's going to track choice. Is going to track the morale or responsibility is going to track the morality.
Not necessarily. Well, no.
Okay.
Not on that level. Not necessarily.
Okay.
I'll show you. If I pick morality as the overall issue, that makes responsibility the subjective story issue. But when you drill down and look at the here you have issues of faith, disbelief, conscience, and temptation. But when you go to the subjective story, the four elements are either here or here under responsibility or commitment.
Okay.
So
it'd be morality versus self-interest, but we really just feel it's here.
Yeah.
Well,
and then when we pick one of these as the solution. And I mean, one is the problem, one is the solution, one symptom and response. Or we pick one of them, and everything else will line up.
Right.
But we have to make sure it makes sense in all the through lines.
Mm-hmm.
Hang on.
In her through line. Oh, let's go ahead.
Let's go with Gary. We've got dream and denial. Okay.
That's great. I like that denial. You
like denial?
Denial with closure being the opposite.
Denial. Under denial, we have conscience and temptation, help and hinder. Now, what's interesting about that is he talks a lot about, you know, every time I try to help, I only hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty strong. Faith and disbelief is really strong. Because certainly he has a problem.
Why do I got to be in the lower quad? Why can't I be in the upper quad?
Well, because of what we picked in the objective story, limited this down here to... I can undo the thing in the objective story if you prefer to look at it that way.
No.
Because when we pick here, it means that the problem solution is either faith, disbelief, or conscience and temptation. You go down here, faith and disbelief is here, conscience and temptation is there. So it's going to be in one of those.
Okay, so I am getting locked in, is what you're saying, by my choices.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I can go back and undo something.
You got to go back and undo.
Okay.
Because morality, it could be approached. Wait, Team America's approach is wrong.
Right?
What's that?
No, I'm saying I'm right. I didn't say morality. I wasn't fighting for morality. I'm fighting for closure right now.
All right. Under closure, he's got consider, reconsider, pursue, and avoid.
Right, and I think he's trying to avoid his thing. He's avoiding his responsibility when there's the door. Okay. He'll take you anywhere you want. Okay. Thank mm-hmm. you. And then he makes, I'm going to pursue it. So his problem and his solution is to pursue it, you know. And then the same thing when his brother acting cost my brother his life. Gorillas tore him the thread. So now he wants to avoid acting. But the only way he can ever save Lisa, you know, and go back to get Lisa back and save Lisa is if he pursues this. And I really feel so strongly about that. And then what also comes back, if that drives me up here in obtaining, I feel in obtaining that approach is Team America's problem. Team America, fuck yeah, we're blowing shit up, yeah. Yeah, more than the morality issue, it's more the approach.
All right, let me ask you this then.
With the 800-pound gorilla that coming into these places.
Right. So what it makes, okay, looking at the group of four elements under each of these four
mm-hmm.
Things in the objective story. Under approach, we have consider, reconsider, logic, and feeling. We also have pursue, avoid, control, and uncontrolled. And then we have faith, disbelief, conscience, and temptation. And then support, oppose, help, and hinder. Now, you want to ask the question, what is the underlying cause of the problem? And to answer that, you usually look at the antagonist. What is the antagonist trying to do? What exactly is the antagonist trying to accomplish?
He's Ronray. So he's trying to destroy the world that alienated him.
He's just trying to turn every country into a third world country.
Well, of course, he's also an alien, it turns out.
Right, but...
Now, that becomes a question of, do you count that as part of the plot or just count that as a throwaway gag,
Right.
But either way, he's trying to...
Wait, you say he's an alien?
He's a cockroach at the end. You see him pop out of his
body? Oh, yeah, okay, that is an extension. Okay.
And the song at the very end where it turns out that they want to occupy Earth, so they want to get all the humans to kill each other.
I see.
But even if you discount that, the little sequence when he's... When Kim Jong-il comes into the prison and talks to Team America and says, this is why I'm doing it, because I want to turn every country into a third world country.
Well, because he is alienated.
Presumably.
Right, and I think his feelings override his logic at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
What he wants to do is create chaos. He wants to create destruction so that humans will go back to a primal state of, fighting each other.
Right.
Because he wants humans to wipe themselves out, basically.
Right.
Whichever motivation you want to attach to that, it still works on a logistical level.
Right.
But I still think
when you look, if we're in the attaining cloud, we're talking overall story, it's his approach. His approach is to throw the world into chaos. Okay. And then man will have to reconsider what they think is important. Right now, we think, I got to get those new Nikes. I want to buy a Nike. I really want to get this, and I want to get a new laptop. But all of a sudden, when Kim Jong-il's done doing his plan, I'm going to reconsider it. I'm just going to be happy to get something to eat.
Divide and conquer.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's going to make me reconsider what Kim Jong-il wants me to reconsider.
He's the antagonist.
He wants to change my approach, is what he's trying to do, because my approach is America, Team America, fuck yeah, we'll just tell you what to do, and you have to do it. And when... Every country is a third world country. You mind your own damn business. America will change its approach because it'll be more worried about feeding itself. People will reconsider. America will reconsider its viewpoint.
So ultimately, at the end, he'll create peace.
And overall story. Remember, we're in overall story quad here. Yeah. Michael Moore, in fact, wants you to reconsider the way we're approaching the world.
Uh-huh.
We go out there with an 800-pound gorilla and we're telling people what to do. We blow up with Cairo. We blow up the things and then... Boom, boom, boom. So Fag wants you to reconsider. Fag is a antagonist. They're kind of an extension of that. They want you to reconsider. That's why I really feel it's about the approach that everyone's taking in this.
Okay. Well, let me raise this story point. His speech at the end is a very thematic statement, right?
Right.
You got your dicks and you got your pussies and you got your assholes. But we need the pussies need the dicks because the dicks will fuck the assholes. It seems, and you may be arguing, well, that's the difference between a doer approach and a beer approach, which, might go back to approach. But there's also a possible question of, just to argue again for morality, is what in this, everyone's kind of immoral. All right? We're dicks. They're pussies. He's an asshole. No one's really a good person. No one's a saint here. But given all that, who's the more... moral choice in the context of our world, and it's like you need us dicks to fuck the assholes.
But I think that is more an attitude than it is in morality. I think it's an attitude. Support and oppose, help and hinder, rather than it is in faith and disbelief.
Okay.
If you say, am I disbelieving in the dicks?
Okay.
You should be believing in the dicks. I think it more should be that, while you're opposed to the dicks, but you're going to be happy to have the dicks around.
Okay.
Well, the dicks, you think dicks fuck pussies, but the dicks also fuck assholes, and they help you. So dicks hinder you because they fuck pussies like you, Alec Baldwin, but they also can help you because they'll fuck the guy. The assholes are going to shit on you. So I think it's in the attitude and the approach quadrant there.
Control, uncontrolled.
Right.
Okay.
Because the story isn't about, they're not pursuing really that much. And they're not. And no one on Team America or on Kim Jong-il or any of these overall story issues are really about a void. They're really, that's not a driving quad for, it's not like Kim Jong-il's trying to avoid to be found out,
So you're arguing for the attitude quad right now?
Approach and attitude versus that's...
For those two, okay.
Right.
Hmm.
I think it's approach, and the solution is, isn't that how it works on issue level is approach?
Well, usually you pick the duality, approach versus attitude, but...
Right.
It's mainly about this as measured against the counterpoint. Yeah.
Right, against the counterpoint. Right, so I think it's our approach, and the counterpoint is, our approach is we're going to tell you what to do, And our counterpoint to that is it's that's what's wrong is the American attitude is.
Any other opinions, arguments?
Fight me on this, guys.
Viewpoints.
You fight me on this. I want to hear your view.
All right.
See if I reach for that eraser.
What's that?
See if I reach for this eraser right here. I doubt it.
Responsibility, commitment, rationality.
And again, the only reason I'm fighting so hard for approach is because I think that's going to push me up in the closure.
Because you really want the closure.
I really feel strongly about the closure for this character.
Let's look at Lisa for a second. Openness versus preconception, choice versus delay. Again, seeing her as an impact character.
Openness? Well, up here. Okay. Openness versus preconception.
Openness.
And openness is what I feel strongly with her.
All we have is our belief. So we go on our belief. And our
we
faith.
Just have our faith, right, and disbelief. She's there. Right, consider, reconsider. I could never be with somebody, another team member. But if you promise me you won't die, I'll fuck you right now. I mean, that's faith. That's consider and reconsider. I mean, I like her in that quad. She's, you know, I'd like to meet a girl like that.
Do you have any opinion? Yeah. Rules? Columbus, any thoughts?
Mm-hmm. Don't let me run over this conversation, guys. You can fight me back on this.
Yeah.
I'm only joking when I say I don't like being wrong. You guys, anything
yet? Yeah. I don't want to prove you wrong.
No, go ahead. Don't say that.
I'm kidding.
Sandy usually is my counterpoint guy here.
So we're basing this on Gary wanting closure as opposed to wanting what? Denial? No, that's.
Well, stop denial and get closure and achieve his closure.
Okay, what's the opposite of that?
He keeps on denying everything and has no closure on his issues.
Well, the denial sort of means he's still kind of
in his loop, his feedback loop, right? Yeah, he's just that track's playing in his head.
He's still surviving by living in his own little world.
Right, and going into acting, getting into other roles. Yeah. You know, because he's pretending he's got AIDS.
Yeah,
you know. So he's dealing with his pain by just denying it and using it as his thing, but he's not getting closure. He's not closing that. They even say, "How do you act so well, Gary?" I just think of a really sad thing that happened to me. You know.
But if we pick closure, then the objective story will put us into either approach or self-interest. So that would give us the elements of consider, reconsider, logic, and feeling, right. Or pursue, avoid, control, uncontrolled.
And again, I come back when I say obtaining an approach, I just think of Kim Jong-il.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right. You know, his approach. He wants to change the view, you know.
Okay.
He's selling these weapons and this, and he's got this. I've been playing it for 10 years. You know, he's not trying to make Kim Jong-il self-interest going, now Kim Jong-il will be the ruler of the world. I'm just going to level the playing field. Everyone will be a third world country.
Hmm. Right.
He's not looking for self Kim Jong-il, and then I will rule the world. No, I'm so lonely. He is so lonely, but I really feel strong on the approach. I just do.
And which would you pick as the problem and which is the solution and which would be symptom and response?
I would say the problem is consideration, because we just have our approach, Team America, fuck yeah. I mean, the song says that all. Team America, fuck yeah. You know, let's go do what we want to do in the rest of the world. You know, and we're blowing up artifacts and what have you. And the solution,
or actually, maybe the problem is how people consider Team America,
right,
is creating problems. But when they make them reconsider at the end,
because they overcome it, right? And oh my God, Kim Jong-il has us all right here, and we're all going to get killed.
Okay, consider becomes the problem, and reconsider becomes the solution. That means the symptom is feeling, and the response is logic. Can we make sense out of that? Now, one thing I like about that is I think that puts feeling and, if I'm right, if we go over to Lisa, she's got a symptom of feeling and a response of logic, which I like having feeling in her quad there.
Right.
Problem of conscience and that's interesting. Problem of conscience and solution of temptation. But when she's as a steadfast character, her problem is really kind of the source of her drive. So I think a problem of conscience
kind of works.
Look at the symptoms feeling. I'm so lonely.
Okay, there you go.
Logic. Right. I'm just going to make everybody the same,
right.
You know?
Okay, all right.
So he's logically going to do that.
I'll go with that. Yeah.
So I think an overall story, feeling, you know, Gary obviously is a very strong feeling character. I don't think we get, you know,
mm-hmm.
Lisa is a very strong feeling character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's her symptom. She's, I feel like it just, it's dangerous. You know, even
yeah.
Sarah.
I feel bad, know. So I'm going to respond, you know. And
logically.
And, well,
right.
Well, and in the bar, you know, Gary's feelings are like, he's devastated.
And logic is
and
a
lot, and then the bar
pussy
yeah,
joke, you know,
conversation
thing.
Comes, yeah, right. So logic is the response to that.
Well,
so,
he's feeling like shit from drinking so much,
right.
And he logically throws up, because that's what you do.
Mm-hmm. It's a response.
Doesn't that defend the male, the mental sex?
No.
But we still have...
Character. This is overall story.
Let's look at the other... Let's see. Lisa would be a problem of conscience, which just really means source of her drive.
And where so she wound up in openness, right?
But her issue is openness, but her elements are actually below it.
Okay.
Under logic, feeling, consciousness, and temptation. So she's dealing with symptoms of feelings and responses of logic, which her feelings were hurt when Carson died. And so she's responding with "don't get him," you know, with a logical stance of "don't get involved." But then, you know,
so her problem
that plays out, and
her problem is going to be logic.
Her problem will be conscience.
Okay, conscience.
Solution is temptation, which is interesting.
Well,
but again,
she has a conscience that says "don't get involved with team members," and her solution is she gives into her temptation of wanting to. I'd sleep with you right now if you would just tell me what I want to hear,
mm-hmm.
even though she knows she's being lied to. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And
for the moment, that kind of resolves her, you know, issue.
Right.
I think for the moment, but then things change.
And then her symptom is feeling, right?
Right.
And her response is logic.
The
is that
subjective
correct?
Story.
Is it feeling over logic for her too? Her symptom is feeling.
Right.
Yeah.
So she has to respond to that. When you ask her, what do you think the problem is? She says, well, you know. Feelings, you know, don't have feelings for your team members because
right.
you'll get hurt. So she tries to apply logic,
right.
Or you know,
and she's saying logic, Sarah, it doesn't make sense. It's you know, get involved,
right?
You know, because that's how she's coping with her feelings of loss and what have you, right?
Mm-hmm.
I like her.
I'm sure that there are other examples, but Lisa's only kind of, you know, she's not explored that in that much depth in this movie,
problem.
Right? The subjective story, the relationship through line, has an issue of rationalization. It's the central issue of rationalization.
It pushes in the rationalization that.
But their elements are a problem of help and a solution of hinder. So I wouldn't have put help and hinder in the subjective story.
No, I still feel very strongly about responsibility, but we can't drive that down there, huh?
Well, if we pick responsibility here, we pick morality here, which means we pick temptation,
like
conscience,
no, I
logic,
like
and feeling.
I like approach better there. This is where I bend it in my will.
Hmm.
Can we pick commitment?
Faith and disbelief. Not as the issue. No, the issue, now, commitment might still be a catalyst.
Okay. So she's in rationalization.
No, their relationship isn't in rationalization. So, I mean,
oh, okay. Oh, all right. Okay. Yeah,
you know,
not her.
Like, I promise I will never
leave.
I will never die.
Never die.
And,
I,
you, know,
you said, you said, you promised you never. I never
right.
said I wouldn't leave. I said I wouldn't die.
Rationalization.
Yeah, he rationalizes it, right? And even.
And she goes, I don't want the fucking power, you know? Of course, then you're dealing with, you know, kind of dealing with the counterpoint, which is obligation, right?
Right. Right, which is what he's saying. I don't want the power. You know, she says, you have a great power, Gary.
Mm-hmm.
You must use it. You know, I don't want the power, right? So it's this
yeah.
the obligation of having to use power. And his rationalization is he doesn't want it. He never did. Blah, 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 blah.
See, they have symptom is feeling and response is logic, which that I am comfortable with. I'm not so comfortable with help and hinder in the relationship story. Can we make sense of that?
Okay, logic and feeling, you said? Feeling
and logic.
Is
the
problem?
Symptom and response.
Okay, symptom and response. So it's mm-hmm. feel, so same as what it is for main for Lisa.
Right. Which
Yeah, right. And she's got the feelings, and his logic is, you know, she says, "You promised you'd never leave." "No, I said I'd never die." Mm-hmm. His logic, he's using logic back on that.
But the problem in their relationship is one of help.
Yeah, I
the solution is hinder.
Right.
Can you make sense of that?
I think I can.
Okay.
Can anybody else? The problem is help.
When people, well, here's the thing is, when Gary...
The problem is...
Gary was trying to help, and it just created problems for him.
Exactly.
Okay?
And people got hurt. Right. So,
that becomes a point of discussion between them, I suppose.
Right.
I mean, it seems like that's more main character, but, you know, but I guess that could be applied to the...
Yeah, but I think if you go back to that scene when she's out there and she's saying to him that, you know, you can't blame yourself for that, Gary. You know, because she tells him you can't be able to. Hundreds of people got hurt. Mm-hmm. 100 people got killed.
Mm-hmm.
Because of what I did over in Baka Laka Laka.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just can't deal with that. And so she's saying, you know, the problem is he tried to help and he fucked that up too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he's got this issue and it's going on inside of him, you know, that he isn't, you know, dealing with it. Acting is, you know, he gives that to her, you know. And so, you know, the solution is to quit Team America and say, I'm not going to help Team America anymore.
And in this case, it's like a steadfast thing, because the problem here is kind of the source of the energy. But if he was to suddenly hinder the relationship, to the extent that he wants to help the relationship move along, he keeps going back. He goes back twice, you know, and that's to kind of help things along in his relationship with Lisa. And I think that's what's driving, that seems to be driving him in terms of the relationship. And so it becomes kind of a steadfast dynamic that's where you want it to be. If he were just decide, you know what, I'm going to, you know, put an end to this relationship, or I'm going to hinder it, then there would be no relationship. That would be the solution that would be...
Because I think he does that twice. This first time the problem is, Gary, we need your help. We need help only an actor can do.
Right.
Spying is acting. You know,
but that's objective story. You know, you want to see if is this help apply to the relationship.
Right. And I think she's saying that, you know, he needs your help. We need your help. And she gives him the card and tells him, find it in here.
Mm-hmm.
And she gives him the card.
Yeah.
You know, and the problem is help. And the solution is to hinder. That's a tough one.
Yeah. But we can go with feeling and logic. I think the objective story makes enough sense. Lisa, her elements make, you know, we can justify that. Gary's, you know, his symptom is avoid and his response is pursue. His problem is consider and his solution is reconsider.
I'm gonna have to watch this movie again.
Yeah, usually it takes a few viewings to get all those elements down. But does it make sense for Gary that his problem is consider? His problem is consider. That's and he's constantly considering when considering how you know whether he's doing any good or not.
Right.
Now, the solution presumably would kick into place in this final change scene. When he steps forward. When he basically reconsiders himself, reconsider his ability to have a positive impact on the world. He just steps forward and he does it.
Right.
You could call that reconsider.
Right. Yeah. Because he's like, I can't have act.
Yeah, I can't act. Right.
And then
that's consideration.
And then he comes to him and he's like, "This world is we're dicks."
Yeah.
You know? Boom. Boom. Boom.
And so he's. Yeah, right. He's doing a reconsider action.
Right, and actually, in a way, that really, I don't know if it doesn't try to carry over, but he's reconsidering, he's asking the world to reconsider, he's reconsidering, you know, because America always thinks it's right, you know, World Police thinks it's right, Team America thinks it's right, and he's kind of for Team America, he's speaking there, and he's going, we're reconsidering.
But he's also acknowledging that America
is doubting, and
America is doubting Team America. Because America is listening to Hollywood now,
mm-hmm.
and Hollywood is saying Team America is dicks.
And that's a good thing. See, that's what I'm saying. In the bar, he's saying, you know, every time I tried to help use my acting, I hurt people. I'm a dick. And he's saying that as a bad thing.
Right.
And then the other guy plants that reconsider thing in his head, and right. then he uses that later where he says, we're dicks, and that's a good thing.
Right.
And that's the reconsider. Because it's not only reconsidering, you know, out to the world, but it's reconsidering his own self-worth.
So the reconsideration
and is this symptom void?
So what's that?
The reconsideration begins with the vomiting. That's him purging his preconceptions from before that point and starting the new day. Oh. He lets it all out and he collapses in the puddle.
Only in Dramatica would we find meaningful metaphor in the puking scene.
I definitely saw it. And
then his symptom and response is going to be a void. Is going to be the
his symptom and response is a void and pursue.
A void is
but
the
certainly
symptom.
You know what's your problem? Well, you know, I just want to avoid all this. I just want to avoid. But you know, it's like after he avoids for a while, then he turns around and pursues.
Right, because he avoids in the beginning. There's the door. See you later.
All right. There may still be a good illustration for Help and Hinder in the subjective story. So I think everything else.
Here's
something else we haven't done yet, and that's we never settled on the mental sex, and we can pick that by going to.
You didn't settle.
Drum roll.
Let's see. That book, Main and Impact. What is it called? It's it's another module.
I hope I'm wrong.
And Gary's unique ability, and the unique ability for the main character tends to cross over into the objective story. It's kind of how he is uniquely able to solve the objective story problem. All right. So that will cross over into his role as protagonist, and that's hope and dream. Either hope or dream.
Yeah.
Okay. His critical flaw, which undermines his unique ability, is either delay or choice.
Well, I think is
delay.
Is, I feel very strongly it's delay. That's his critical flaw. He'd
just
rather not deal. He'd rather go get drunk than deal with his feelings for Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
He'd rather get act and deal with his brother's issue. You know, so I think his critical flaw is delay.
Let's see. Okay, let's see if this...
This is a subsidiary of denial.
His unique ability is dream.
Yeah, I think... Because he has no hope of being a spy. I'm no spy. He is acting. And then he comes back with the montage.
I could never dream of being as good as Alec Baldwin.
Right.
But then he actually can be.
Guns.
Yeah. Now, that would make Lisa's unique ability choice. In other words, how she is able to... How she is uniquely able to impact the main character. Choice. It's your choice.
By giving him a choice.
Yeah.
Promise me this and have me.
Mm-hmm. Here's the card. You know, when you decide to make a choice, I'll be here. You know, give me a call. Her critical flaw, which undermines her impact, is hope. Critical flaw is hope. I could never hope to be with a woman this beautiful. You know,
hope for her is, which could be reasonably expected, and because she can't hope for a relationship with a team member, and the men she deals with are team members, and she can't hope for that because she just hoped to have a life with Carson, and that was taken from her because of what they do.
All right.
So she can't hope to have a real life, a regular life. She has no hope of having that. Sarah, don't fall for another team member. It's dangerous. It's
right.
You know,
I can't fall in love with you because there's no hope in that.
Right.
I can't hope to be happy because I'll just
like remember it's a clear flaw.
It is
that's what's holding her back is her inability to hope.
Holding her back from impacting him. Right.
Right.
And that can either be a positive thing or a negative thing depending on the context of the relationship. But all right. So okay, that gives us. Mental sex of female, problem-solving style.
Yeah. That's where I thought it was, but
like it was that?
Yeah.
High five,
yeah.
Bob, that's what I thought.
He got, you know, when I was watching this movie, I was so taken into the movie that I didn't analyze it that much, you know. I couldn't analyze it that much, you know.
Right.
I got to see it.
Damn Dramatica. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
movie like this, I got to see it the second time.
Friday
that's when I get the
fourth time.
Exactly. Usually that's the case when you're Well, if you're enjoying it, then you should be thinking about it analytically.
I know this program.
Okay, so we've got that. Let's see, reports.
Sometimes watching a movie, the second time I get
it out,
three times as much out of it as I do the first time around. Because I'm.
Once you know how it resolves, and who's changing,
right,
who's steadfast, it's easier after that to go back and look at it and see what the dynamics are.
Right.
Sometimes you don't know who the impact character is until the end.
This podcast was brought to you by Wright Brothers, creators of software for writers since 1982. Visit us at www.screenplay.com and www.dramatica.com.